Hello, my beautiful beanies, and welcome to The Bean for Wednesday. First, with yesterday's news, I am Glenn ZB. We're looking back at Tuesday. And interesting. I've got interesting things being provided with me by other producers. I've got a cut that says Leighton down with his people. I don't know what that means. I've got something called Raw Emotion from Kerry and Mark. Don't know what that's about. And we'll also talk about how much overpouring can cost a bar, and the movies Marcus has missed in the last decade. But before any of that, behind the scenes with Ardern and English, who are their puppet masters?
And what about Labour? Well, make no mistake, Helen Clark is here, and she is the force behind Jacinda Ardern. Think back to when Ardern took the leadership, and her go-to phrase was, "I'm relentlessly positive." It was a softer, slightly timid Ardern. She was feeling her way, I think, back then. But compare that to her style of leadership now. She's developed the backbone of a grizzly bear. She's not relentlessly positive anymore. In fact, she's pretty ruthless when it comes to taking on National and front-footing Bill English in the debates. She's a confident speaker. She's got a smart, strong mind. And just like Clark, she's unflappable. She's no longer covered in stardust, as Bill English once suggested. It's more like cocaine. I'd bet my house on the fact that Clark is in her ear right now every day. And who beat Clark? John Key. And that's why Key is now back in the mix. It's an extraordinary election, not just for what's playing out in front of us every day, but because of what's going on behind the scenes. It's Key and English versus Clark and Ardern. It really is. There is so much riding on this election. They've gone in the big guns, and I hand on heart have no idea who's going to win.
Yes, and now last night we've got another poll which says the opposite of what the other polls have been saying. So, yeah, she's a curly one, all right. Is it going to be about tax at the end of the day? Well, as I said, I've got a cut here that says Leighton down with his people. I think he might be talking about tax. He's met an ordinary person out there somewhere. He's told him something and he's really taken it to heart.
I mentioned yesterday the truck driver I spoke with after I'd heard that comment. No connection at all. And what he was telling me. Well, truck drivers work with their hands. They drive, they load, they unload, they do things. But the person that I heard make that comment, who was an American broadcaster, was talking about trying to think who it was, what the occupation was of the guy he was talking to. I think it was a drain layer or something along those lines. Anyone who works with their hands, builders, drain layers, tradespeople, you know, whatever, or anybody who relies on growing things. You know what I'm saying? They're the sort of people who provide us with the basics of life, the necessities, and they've got a grip on the realities of life and the unrealities as well. That was the suggestion. And yes, of course, they'd welcome some tax with it.
Yeah, so there you go. I mean, he gets out there, he feels the pulse of the nation. It's all, you know, he's keeping it real, Leighton. What can you say? Now, I tell you what, I don't mind getting a little bit more wine in my glass than it says up to the line. But apparently there's a bar in Christchurch that's lost $80,000 because the line was in the wrong place on their glasses.
A lot of sympathy for the bar owner here.
There is. You know, the margins in our industry are pretty low. Sort of on average, for every $100 we've taken in revenue, you're making somewhere between $3 and $10 profit. So one's got to look after your money pretty carefully to make ends meet.
How does it work if you're a bar owner? Do you know exactly the number of glasses you will pour out of the bottle of wine and budget accordingly? What are the margins here?
Wine is actually a fairly low margin. I think when you look at the business, you're looking to try and sort of have around a 55% margin on wine. When you're pouring by the glass, and you're looking at normally sort of 4.5 glasses that you budget per bottle of wine. And that's why we mark the glasses, because wine, unlike a beer, you fill a beer to the top of the glass. With wine, often you get different size and shape glasses, and that's why we market, A, to protect the staff as well, because the temptation to overpour is there. And as you quite rightly said at the beginning of the section, is that customers are always looking to make sure they get value for money. And there's often pressure on the staff to actually say, come on, just give me a couple of drops more. The tide's half out, is the famous saying.
Well, yeah, I was going to ask, I mean, how much pressure do you think staff do come under from customers to, come on, top it up just that bit more, please, thank you very much?
All the time. It's a constant thing, especially with wine. And that's why we mark the glasses, and that's why our recommendation is to all sort of bar owners, restaurant owners, have good systems. So you are measuring all the time.
You know what? I reckon they should keep the glasses. They should be known as the bar that gives you a little bit more. I reckon then they'd make the $18,000 back in no time, don't you? You're going to go to the bar that gives you a bit more, surely. I think there's an opportunity there. Right. Now for the second mystery cut of the morning, something from Kerry and Mark called Raw Emotion. They've got a regular caller called Hayden, and they didn't know everything about him, I think.
As someone who was a dancer for many years, not podium style, but actually on a professional sort of dance floor circuit.
Really? And we learn, a little bit more about you, Hayden.
Every time.
The photo is beyond description, really.
What did you wear?
Most of the time, it was the typical sort of boring style, black pants, shirt sort of thing. Although it did get a little bit different as we increased in rank and got a little bit more experience. We pushed the boundaries, put it that way, myself and my partner at the time. But it's funny the connection you make on a dance floor. If you're a couple and you're dancing, it can be to the detriment of both your dancing and your relationship. If you can find someone that you can dance well together, you have a connection that goes beyond sexual tension. It's like it's knowing that you are connecting on a sexual level, but you can't have it.
Right, yeah. That makes sense.
And that makes the dancing so much better. And there's been times I've been on a dance floor with someone, never met them before, and something happened and you're just like, it's because I'm attracted to this person, but I know, absolutely hands down, nothing's going to happen. But you have dance floor sex.
What happens if it does happen, though? Is it electric?
If what happens?
Well, if you do end up having sex, does it translate to being amazing? Because there is that pent up, I suppose, frustration or
desire.
Desire.
I met my ex-partner. We were together for 8.5 years. We met on the dance floor, and it was just weird. Like two completely different people from two completely different worlds connected, and then it was like, what the hell just happened? It was just unreal.
Yeah, I feel like that sort of belongs in the too much information file. To be honest, I feel like we got a lot of information about Hayden that we didn't ask for. Yeah, and as for the emotions to do with how you have sex on the dance floor, I don't want those emotions on the dance. My dancing's weird enough as it is without that kind of confusion and awkwardness. We're going to finish up here with Marcus admitting he hasn't watched a lot of movies in the last 10 years.
I'm halfway through watching Arrival, a movie which I'm loving. I mean, God knows why they cast someone that looks so much like Nicole Kidman. Here I am thinking most of the movie it was Nicole Kidman anyway. Because I realise in the last 10 years I've missed some extremely good science fiction movies. What are the great ones I've missed? I know there's one with Matthew McConaughey I haven't seen. Because loving Arrival on Fatso.
Okay, so there's so many questions. I mean, how can he not know who Amy Adams is? This is not just science fiction movies he's missed out on. He's obviously not watched any movies because she's in every second movie these days. I don't know that she looks that much like Nicole Kidman, does she? That's weird. Interstellar, of course, is the Matthew McConaughey movie that he's probably talking about. Which is great. But, geez, Marcus. You do make... Is he doing it on purpose? I just don't know. I'm Glenn ZB. That has been News Talk ZB, and it's left me a little bit dazed and confused, if I'm going to be honest with you. I'll try and get myself together for tomorrow, but there's no guarantee it won't be any more confusing then.